This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Welcome to Malfunction Junction, crossroads between art and addiction. I'm your host, Andrew Edwards, and together we will explore how these two worlds intertwine. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Malfunction Junction. This is Andrew. Thank you for joining us. Me, at least. And thank you to our guests over the past 2 weeks. Or really three now, because I missed last week. My bad. That's this week. That's what this episode is. I just was slacking. It's on me. It can only be on me, and I'll get to that in a second. Thank you to our guests over the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks, Alex Kirshner and Quinn Warren. They were awesome. Alex, especially, I really kind of owe her a thanks. And if she's listening, shout out, you're awesome. You kind of got me back on track with this. I was a little bit lost on what I was doing with it. And, the encounter that we had, meeting at that show was, great for this podcast. I'll just say that much. So thank you, Alex. Best of luck with all your endeavors. I hope to see you again. I will be having more guests on in the coming weeks. I think that's how we're going to switch up to it. It'll be every now and then solo episodes, but for the most part, we're going to try to do guests, artists who have dealt with addiction, and I'll get into that in a second too. But yeah, on that note, anyone you know is interested in coming on the show, please reach out to us at malfunctionjunctionpodcast@gmail.com. Or DM us on Instagram at Malfunction Junction Podcast. We are looking for artists, like I said, who have dealt with addiction in some capacity, even if it hasn't been fully put behind you yet. We're not discriminating here. This is a show about progress. No one who has ever appeared on this show is a finished product. So don't think you have to be. If you are an artist and an addict, come hang out. We'll talk and have a good time about whatever, dude. A couple of announcements. My first short film that I made last year in school as a final project with a couple of friends from college. Shout out Andrew McCullough, Mark Landry, and, of course, Alex Kenny. And then, of course, Noel Lopez. Can't forget about him. He was definitely there. And then the actors, we got Joseph Bowman, been a great help for everything. I've always said, and Joe, if you're listening, this is what I'm going to say. I've always said that if anybody ever called me and asked, like, hey, I saw you had Joseph Bowman on a project, like, how was he? I will always say that kid is game for whatever. He's just, you know, he is what you want out of an actor. He's what, like, as a director, like, he's what, like, just someone that's just like, oh, it's my turn. Cool. Ready to go. I'm just sitting here in the corner waiting for whatever happens, and I'm not making a bother about it at all. So Joe, you're the man. And then of course, Travis and Maya, also helped out with that film. I think that was it. I was the main actor. I kind of fucking hate that, dude. I hate that I'm the main actor, especially, like, let me get to what I was even saying. My first short film, Crickets, will be screened at the Bug Theater here in Denver on November 20th as part of the Emerging Filmmakers Project. I'm very excited, and I don't really know what to expect, but I guess I'm honored. I feel like I'll probably feel more honored after the fact when I, like, 100% sure I know that things are what they seem. But right now, it's a little hard to believe. It's just kind of like, really? You know, kind of thing. So it's like, but I mean, like, it's a decent film, especially for a first short film. It's decent, man. And it's a good story. I wrote the story. And I just hate my acting. I truly just hate my acting. But that's neither here nor there. Please come out and support if you'd like to come. Tickets are $5 available at the door. That makes me think of a Sublime reference. $5 at the door. Smells like Amy Dog inside the van. Oh, yeah. Anyway. We still need some help getting Night Cook finished. If you have extra money that you would like to use to help to get some artists some help to fund finishing a film, there is a link below in the description to our GoFundMe. I will be recording an episode with Travis Wormwood sometime in the near future to talk about the progress and the film as a whole. I'm not sure how long it took him to write the original story, but I can tell you that I started working on Night Cook on January 12th of this year, and by the time, that's 2025, by the way, by the time it is fully complete, I will have been working on this project for an entire year, maybe more. So that being said, please help. This is a passion project of sorts. If you were thinking about donating some money to help us out, but would like a description of what the money is going to, feel free to reach out to us, me, at the emails or DM mentioned above, which will also be put in the description of the episode. So, yeah, thank you to everyone who has helped out with to make this project possible already. From people who worked with me on set, to those who donated a few bucks, to those who have been reaching out to check on how things are going with it, I appreciate you all greatly. It's a really difficult process to make a film from basically just a story into a tangible piece of media. And it's a long process, and it's very painful. It's very tedious. I've put some fucking 600, 700 hours into this project, and it's just because of the love of the game, dude. It's the love of the game at this point. I hope I always carry that with me. Even if I do attain success, I hope I always carry the fact for the love of the game. But I do know that people lose that, so I'm trying to enjoy it now. Trying to enjoy it now. It's not super easy. But anyway, on that note, please donate. We could use the money. I'm trying to get people to record music for us for some parts that we need music for. And I need the clearance for the music. I need to pay the band. Fucking, this thing's dead. I need to pay the band. I need to clear the licensing, like I said. And, yeah. So please help. I would greatly appreciate it, as would everybody else involved. On the final announcement I've got here, if you haven't figured this out by yet, Jay is no longer part of the podcast. I won't go too much into the detail there. I will be having a conversation with another former employee of the bar that Jay is the manager at coming up soon, where we'll discuss what happened there. I'll just leave it to that. I have nothing else to say about that yet. Today is just me, of course. So I'm going to be reading and responding to some listener questions that I've received over the past few months. Thank you to those who wrote in. Your interest keeps me on task. And if someone listening has any questions like this or anything on the topic or anything related to it, please send them. I will do my best to respond to them when we have a lull in guests. I'll be doing solo episodes like this when we have lulls in guests. So we're going to dive into these listener questions here. First question here we've got is, I've been sober for 6 months. but I'm scared I've lost the creative edge that I used to come with drinking. Do you think sobriety changes an artist's voice or just their process? And that is from Gracie in DC. Thank you, Gracie. And I wrote, I've just typed up responses to all these questions, and I'm just going to read them off because I speak better from my writing voice than I do my speaking voice. I kind of sound like a heathen speaking, and for some reason I'm pretty eloquent writing, relatively. Especially considering the fact that I can't speak and without using the F word, so clearly. Fuck! Whatever. So getting back to that question, do you think sobriety changes an artist's voice or just their process? It's possible that sobriety changes an artist's voice. I can think of one example off the top of my head when I was writing this, and that's Tyler Childers, whose early stuff is some of the most honest and soulful music ever made. And that's being honest. I think that some of that early stuff is that Red Barn, Live at Red Barn Radio, which I'm still not 100% sure is actually a live album. I think they may have put clap tracks on it. I'm not positive. I'm not accusing. I don't know. I'm not even going to say allegedly. I don't know. But that album is fucking great. All those songs are just so soulful. All of them. I mean, he's got Rock, Salt, and Nails on there, which I believe. Fuck, I can't remember who originally wrote Rock, Salt, and Nails. I'm going to have to look that up. Rock, Salt, and Nails was originally written by Bruce Utah. Fuck, what was that last name? Hold on. Bruce Utah Phillips in 1961. Yeah. Cool. But yeah, all those are great songs. Charleston Girl's a fantastic jam. What's the other one? Dead Man's Curve is one of those songs. I think I've had it as my song of the week on here before. With Jay, and Dead Man's Curve is such an emotional song, and such a heavy topic that he's able to so eloquently describe in song. When he was using it, seemed like his writing contained the pain of a man drowning in a river trying to find a tree root to grab hold of so that he would not continue to slip down the rapids. His lyrics in those early songs are perfect allegories, sometimes even direct stories of the situations felt by someone in active addiction. Now, I'm about to say something kind of controversial. This may be my opinion. And I'm okay with that. I cannot stand his new music. I fucking hate it. I just can't do it. I don't know what it is, but I don't feel the same soul as I did with the old music. Maybe it's got nothing to do with sobriety at all, and with all the pain and current life experiences, because wealth and fame brings a whole different realm of reality than living up in West Virginia, I believe, where he's from. I have no idea, to be honest with you. I would assume West Virginia. I think they're... My point here is that what makes some artists so great, the pain they're in, is really what does it. The ability to make a traumatic situation and turn it into art that the observer can literally feel, that is a great artist. So, thank you, Gracie. I hope that answers your question. Next question here from Connor from Washington. I used to use drugs to feel inspired, like it unlocked something raw. Now that I'm clean, I feel flat. How do I find inspiration without substances? I was reading these questions out to my buddy Isaac, and... who actually I think sent in a question. Yeah, the next question was his. Shout out, Isaac. You're the man. My brother. But yeah, I read him this question. He said, of course you feel flat. Life is supposed to feel flat. And I don't really agree with that entirely, but I do see where he's coming from. It's just kind of mundane most of the time. Life is filled with mundanity? No idea. Mundanity. We're going to go with that. I fucking got lost. Hold on. Anyway, I'm going to get back to that. life is not supposed to totally feel flat, in my opinion. It's supposed to have ups and downs, natural ones. But you're supposed to, life, in my opinion, is about achieving balance. But that has nothing to do with what I'm discussing right now. How do you feel inspiration, find inspiration without substances? So, I used to get drunk every night to write for like years. I felt like it allowed me to get into a flow state easier. And also I was significantly more unhinged in my writing when intoxicated. It felt like it was supposed to be that way, especially given the amount of Hunter Thompson I was reading at the time. Still love Hunter, but that stuff's wild. But in reality, I was hurting every part of my creative process by taking what was essentially a shortcut. Stephen Pressfield talks about the idea of the muse in his book, The War of Art. He speaks of it as if it is an entity which comes to you when creating and injects its own ideas into your head, and ultimately your creation. But one must also remember that alcohol is known as spirits, and it's for good reason. One of my beliefs is that drugs change the frequency of your cells when you become intoxicated by them, possibly allowing you to communicate easier with other beings on that same frequency. This is the same for different types of alcohol. Of course, it's a fucking drug. Don't convince yourself otherwise that alcohol is not a drug. You're dumb. What the hell are you talking about? Anyway, how many people have you heard say that whiskey makes them mean, or that tequila makes them horny? The drug itself brings you closer to the frequency of the entities around you that you cannot see with your naked eyes. Now, going back to what I said about taking a shortcut, if the muse is an entity of creation, but one is using alcohol or other drugs to come in contact with said muse, that, by definition, is a shortcut. And while convenient for a quick trip, it's not always helpful for the long haul. And when you come off the drugs, the path you had built to the muse is gone too. So to finally answer that question, you just need to sit down and do the work. There's nothing else to it. The muse will come back. You just need to find the path in your brain to it. I think that's as simple as I can make it. You just need to sit down and do the work, and the muse will come. And you need to find your pathway to it. Anyway, because you got to meet it at least halfway. It's not going to just come to you. You got to meet it halfway, and it will be there. Yes. Anyway, so next we're getting on here to Isaac in Michigan. Thank you, Isaac. Shout out. Do you think addiction fuels creativity, or do creative people just tend to get lost easier? I think both of those are true. I think creative people tend to feel more creative on substances. It'd be foolish to assume otherwise when looking at music over the past 60 years and its ebbs and flows of being listenable based on the legality of the drugs that were taken to create it. The 60s and 70s music is way better than the 80s. You cannot convince me otherwise. And don't even fucking talk to me about 90s music. Go fuck yourself. And it's not everything. Obviously, there's good shit in every era. But 90s and 2000s music, miss me with that. 80s music, totally miss me with that. 60s, 70s down. 2010s kind of miss me with that. Lately stuff, love it. Love the stuff that's coming out today. Which is great. It's awesome to, you know, have great music around, especially here in Denver. There's a lot of great music here, especially bluegrass. If you like bluegrass, come to Denver. Anyway. So our question here from Isaac is, do you think addiction fuels creativity, or do creative people tend to just get lost easier? Like I said, I think both of those are true. I talked about music and the drugs there. Sorry, I got lost for a sec. There was a tapping noise. We'll figure it out. Where was I? Okay. Also, I think that creative people are more likely to get stuck in a downward spiral. But when the answer to creation and inspiration becomes take drugs, that is a sign that the normal pathways to that part of the brain are blocked, and it's likely that the artist becomes stuck at this point in a cycle of using to produce, which works until it doesn't. At some point, it just stops. I can't tell you how much shit I've halfway finished because I got drunk, wrote it, and then tried to, you know, get in the same mindset again, and it never was able to finish it. So I have a shitload of stories that are halfway done. But yeah, that's the long answer to that. That took a second. No worries. Getting on to the next question here, the fourth and penultimate question here from John in Texas. Shout out my boy John. You're the man too. Love you. He says, I'm a musician in recovery and I still perform songs I wrote when using. Should I leave that part of my art behind or keep it as part of my current truth? First off, I hate the word truth. My truth. I hate that. Whatever. Neither here nor there. I am of the opinion that unless you feel like the songs are triggering you or that they show a part of you that you want to move past, then you shouldn't refrain from playing songs that show who you once were. Maybe you make it into a whole set, like a story based on the songs you're playing, your journey from them, your journey from addiction to healthy. That's the only thing I can think of, like to turn something bad and try to make it into useful. That's kind of what Crickets is, the film that I made. I turned a bad situation into a piece of art, hopefully. So thank you, John. That was a good question. Didn't have a long answer to it, but thank you. And our last question here from Jacob in Nevada. Thank you, Jacob. Does making art about addiction help you move past it, or does it keep you trapped in that cycle? I think the answer to that question might be both. I know for myself that when I'm writing about a traumatic situation or event that actually happened to me, I often procrastinate a considerable amount more than for other writing. I think this might be due to not wanting to get trapped in a flashback. Those are the worst. But at the same time, at some point, you just have to bite the bullet and do it anyway. It's just important to pull yourself out of that place when you're done with the work. I often find that I'm better. I feel better after getting the story out. So it also helps me move past it. If you are someone who is currently creating something about a traumatic situation, I would say hell yeah, but make sure you're in a place with the event that it isn't going to send you into a bad place when you dwell on it, because you're going to have to in order to correctly capture the essence of what happened in the event. You're going to have to dwell on it. You're going to have to go back to that place. So make sure you're in a good situation in your mind with the with the event that you can go back there. It's hard. It's hard to go back there. I've with a couple of my situations, I've been back there mentally, and it's easier nowadays than it was. Definitely. It gets easier for sure if you're someone struggling with that. Just know it does get easier. With the trauma, with the nightmares and the flashbacks and the sometimes other things. But that's all the questions I got. Thank you for those who sent in questions. Please continue to send them in for weeks where I don't have guests. It would be nice to be able to do this maybe once a month or so. We are going to do a song of the week here and close out with a shout out here. We got our song of the week as West Dakota Rose by the band Magoo, a Denver-based bluegrass band who I would love to get in touch with. If anybody listening knows the band Magoo, please put me in touch. It'd be nice to get them on. They're great. They're fucking really talented. And lastly, before we get out of here, shout out to friends of the show, Charlie White and band Bear Hat. I went and saw them last night, and they fucking killed it, dude. They were literally so good. It's a hell of a show watching them. They are really fucking good. And, like, it's such a unique style of bluegrass where it's truly just, they have a flute involved in it, which is just, there is no other, I don't know of another bluegrass band that has a flute that is, like, as a mainstay in the band. And it adds so much. It's insane. And one time they had a saxophone at it. That added a lot too. I was saying they should keep that. But I mean, yeah, dude, it's sick. Charlie's such an interesting guy. He's been on the show. He's going to come on again soon. I think we're going to have a couple other guys from the band on too. And it's just truly like, I'm stoked to be friends with those guys. Those guys are cool as fuck and they're great at music. It's awesome to see. They're playing Meow Wolf the day before Thanksgiving, so get tickets if you would like to see them. I will be trying to be there that day. Well, that's really all I got. I actually am pretty proud of myself. I did about It's going to come out to less than this, but it's about 25 minutes right now. That's pretty good for a solo episode. Not bad, Andrew. Good job. Anyway, I got nothing else. So thank you for listening, if you have been listening. But if not, fuck. No, I'm just kidding. So I guess if you want to follow us on Instagram, it's Malfunction Junction Podcast at Malfunction Junction Podcast. Or DM us or email us about some potential guest spots, things. MalfunctionJunctionPodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow Crucible_Media for any updates on Night Cook or myself, Andrew R. Edwards 0 on Instagram. Thank you. Have a great rest of your day.